So he says this very plainly, you know, this is what's going to happen. He saw it coming, and the disciples, even up to the time it happened, were very thick about this. Because this was sort of like, to them, this is another riddle. To them, this is like another parable. He can't mean that. He must mean something else. There must be some other hidden meaning behind this that we can't figure out. But we durst not ask him about that. You know, I think there's a lot of, Peter rebuked him once and we saw what happened. You know, that Christ said, you savor the things which be of man and not the things which be of God. God savors it that I should be obedient unto death. You savor it that we should do things your way, that we should do things in a way that's pleasing to man. Verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children. That's James and John, the sons of Zebedee, with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit the one at thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but shall be given to them of whom it is prepared, of my Father. But for whom it is prepared, of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Obviously, they were not too happy. They thought, these guys, you know, here they come, asking for great play. You know, sit on my right hand and my left. Well, what about us? You know, you want to be over us too? But whatever the case, you know, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find. Hey, why not ask, right? Ask in faith, doubting nothing. Obviously, though, not every request can be granted. He says, this is, you don't know what you're asking. On the one hand, you have to be able to drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. You know, that it means, you know, what is that, just water? The spirit? The baptism of pain? What does he mean? Drink the cup. That he prayed that in Gethsemane. Let this cup pass from me. The cup that he drank would be the cup of suffering. The cup of the crucifixion. You know, that would be a bitter drink to drink. He says, are you able to drink it? And they say, oh, yes, we're able. He says, well, you will indeed drink the cup. You will suffer. And you will be baptized with the same baptism I am baptized with. But to do this thing is beyond my power to grant. It is given to them for whom it is prepared. And this is a funny thing to say after that parable. Because there are many that be first that be last. And obviously they didn't get it. It's not necessarily who, you know, they think, we're the 12 disciples, we must be big. And he had already said, you know, you will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And that they would, you know, in the book of Revelation, it says the city has 12 foundations, and in them are written the names of the apostles. Their names are written in the foundations of the city of God. But still they think, well, let's ask. Can we sit on your right hand and your left? Can we be a right and left-hand man? You know, that's... When you think about God, and then you think that you see these two guys, one on his right and one on his left, that's pretty... a pretty high shot there. You know, and I've heard different analysis of this, of like, well, who really sits there, and... You know, is Jesus on the right hand of God, and so on and so forth, and... Therefore, God on his left, and... And this and that, and that's not really important. You know, him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. I don't want to sit down at Christ's right hand or his left. I want to sit on his lap. You know? I want to sit right where he sits. I want to sit, can I sit where you sit in your kingdom? That's where I want to sit. And that's what's promised. And the disciples didn't really realize this because it hadn't yet been promised. When the book of Revelation, and it's interesting that John was the one who received the book of Revelation, and he was the one who was here with his brother seeking to sit on the right and left hand of God, Christ, in the kingdom. When in the book of Revelation, in the seven churches, it says, you know, he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. As I also sit down with my Father in his throne, I will grant him to rule the nations with the rod of iron, as I rule the nations with the rod of iron. We are granted co-heirship with Christ. We become joint heirs with him. He becomes like a brother. And we are not like a pair of brothers who are at his feet. And so the others were indignant, but Jesus, verse 25, called that to them, and he says, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority on them. You know, that's how things work in the world. That the great men exercise authority over the lesser men, and they make demands of lesser men. The princes of the world are served by lesser men. Verse 26, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of God, the Son of Man, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Here is one who is the greatest of all, the Son of God, but he gave his life for many as a ransom. He gave his life as a price to be paid that others might live. He gave his life that we might receive more than our just rewards, that we might receive of the grace of God, not merely this penny of life, but an everlasting life, a treasure in heaven which fades not away. In verse 26, that word minister, you notice they're differentiated. Let him be your minister, let him be your servant. That's like a minister, think of it like a butler, a household servant. The other one refers to a bond servant, like a slave. You know, the chief will be slave and the great one will be like your butler. And it's funny to me that the way ministers have become, they're not so much servants of the people, but they are the fat in feeding themselves from the people. They grow fat and they grow large and grotesque and disgusting. And God will not overlook their evil deeds. I think of back to Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 34, but somewhere in there it talks about the sheep. I will discern between the sheep and the fat sheep, the lean sheep and the ones that are feeding themselves. There are some shepherds who feed themselves of the flock. They're growing fat off the flock.